This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now.
All right, we're live. What is up, my brothers? We are going to broadcast tonight on the topic of winning over whining. Welcome to Before the Train Wreck number 70 in the series. This is the only show that delivers the cold, hard truth and helps guys like you avoid making a train wreck out of your life. So, I'm going to run this one maybe about an hour, hour and a half. We'll see how it goes. I suspect some of you guys watching right now might want to ask a question. So I will drop the join link in the chat for you to come on towards the end. And we'll see what it is you might be stuck on and what I can do to be useful to help you out. If you're just coming in now, guys, do me a huge solid and just smash the like button. It helps me out a ton with the YouTube algorithms. And if you're out and about on other places of the interwebs watching this broadcast, i.e. Twitter or Facebook or whatever, just click that link I dropped there and come on over and join us on YouTube. Also, after this show, I'm going to be doing a private Zoom session for community members. So if you have joined the YouTube channel membership, I don't know what the rate is, but there's a join button there. It's less than $5 a month. You get access to the chat. I'm also going to drop the join link in the community tab for you to hop into that. You'll also be participating with some of the brothers from the 1%. So let's get right into these show notes over here I've got for you guys. Good, good. Looks like audio is coming out good. Got a few guys in the chat. What's up, Tuscan? What's up, Santiago? Good to see some familiar names, not faces, names. Zeroed out. So let's talk about what zeroed out is. A lot of guys get, you know, basically kicked in the nuts and they fall down hard and they feel worse than nothing. They have a hard time recovering, getting back up, dusting themselves off. They struggle with sleep. They struggle with focus at work. No, I know that. Yes, you know, been there, done it, got the t-shirt. I know what it's like. Totally get it. Now it's time to stop sulking and get some wins on the board. Getting zeroed out sucks pretty bad. I've talked many times about moments in my life where I've felt, you know, absolute worse at the bottom of my game. You know, thankfully I pushed on through. It's hard to do for a lot of guys. You know, sometimes you just want to curl up in a ball and sit in a dark corner and just sulk to yourself and hope that fixes it. But unfortunately it doesn't. You know, we as guys don't have that privilege. Women, children, and dogs are the only ones that are loved unconditionally, as it was so eloquently put. I think it was Chris Rock in his Tambourine special. Men are only loved under the condition that we provide something, that we bring something to the table. So, zeroed out does suck. It happens with women in our lives. It can happen in a divorce. It can happen at work. It happens with friends, you know. Guys get zeroed out in a circle of friendships as well. I've seen that a few times. So it's pretty easy to get overwhelmed with stuff like that and how bad your situation can get. But it's real, real important for guys to get some wins up on the board. Chalk it up on the board. They've got some wins with either with women, fitness, money, game, whatever it is. But something that has to change your outlook and motivate you to move forward. There's been a lot of studies done on this. And they've tested the blood serum levels of
people that win in a competitive environment and the people that lost that competition. And believe it or not, there's all kinds of serum changes in your blood levels, including testosterone and all the other good, you know, feel good stuff like dopamine and all that. Significant improvements, in fact, when you're on the winning team. You know, testosterone levels go up, you know, for example, when you're on the winning team. So it's real important for you to get out of the sulking as quickly as possible. The sulking, the whole pity party that we like to throw for ourselves, it's an interesting thing because I've done it. I know what it's like. It doesn't accomplish anything. Nobody cares. Like I said earlier, you know, you don't get any free passes in this world as a guy. The sooner that you can learn that lesson, the sooner that you'll be able to adapt and respond to difficulties that are imposed on your life. Sometimes we bring them on ourselves because of stupid choices. Sometimes they're just brought upon us, often because of stupid choices around people, places, and things that we decide to go to. So it's real important for you to, from those losses, you know, you don't sit there as a loser, but you learn from them. Don't lose, learn. You know, it's another thing you've probably heard me say from time to time on my channel in various videos as I'm going about my day, driving my car, telling a quick story. So let's get into some of these talking points that I have over here. I think we're warmed up now. Your circle of influence is going to dictate your successes. I think it's fundamental for dudes to understand that if you're going to surround yourself with negative, whiny losers, you surround yourself with five negative, whiny losers, you're going to be the sixth. There is no two ways about it. If you're allowing these people into your life, again, I've talked about this many, many times. Jack Donovan's written some great books about masculinity, tribalism. The Way of Men is a good starting point. You need to define your tribe. You draw a perimeter around it, and you have an us versus them strategy. You only let people in to your inner circle that have earned it, that are deserving of that placement. Far too many guys let these losers into their inner circle that influence them in a negative way. And they think sometimes that it's not going to have any influence. I'll give you a good example. There was this guy that I traveled in circles with, I'm going to say late 20s, early 30s. He had a bad drinking problem. He was almost always drunk, and he was a really bad drunk. He got involved in some other compounds as well, you know, like weed and stuff like that. But that didn't really affect him the way that alcohol did. He was just really bad to be around. And it made him almost intolerable to be in public places with. He would have outbursts, freak out. You know, sometimes shit would break. Sometimes he'd want to start a fight with you. Come on, fight me. You know, let's, you know, come at me like you think you're better than me, sort of stuff like that, because you didn't want to engage at his level. And he was always broke. He was always borrowing money from people. You know, he had a hard time paying his rent. He had a hard time paying his staff when he was trying to run his business, trying to make money. And anytime he came across money, it was gone. Boom. It just evaporated just like that. And I let this guy orbit my inner perimeter, you know, get on the inside for far too long, mostly because I was really good friends with one guy that went to high school with him. And, you know, he cleaned himself up, this other guy. He got himself out of his vices, out of his addictions, went through AA, was completely sober and clean for a number of years. He was a good guy. You know, he was doing the work in life. He was leveling up. He lost a ton of body fat. He was like this short, kind of not even pudgy, but like fat dude with a bad haircut. He had this like big bad haircut sort of thing. And he cleaned it all up, man. He turned into a good looking dude, got himself a decent job, made some money, drove a nice car, lost all the fat. We, you know, by the end of it, when I came to know him as he cleaned himself up, you know, we started calling him Pocket Hercules at the office because we used to work together. He was this little dude that was all just like buff as shit. But this other guy that used to travel in the circles, he just brought us down, man.
everything that we did, there was always something that was invited into our life just by having this guy around us. I remember one time we were sitting around, I think this is like late 20s or so. This is in the Halo days with the Xbox One, you know, like the original one. And I remember, you know, he came in the house and he looked all sketchy and dodgy sort of thing like that. And we're like, what's up with dude, right? And he just kind of like ran off and kind of hid in a corner. And then a few seconds later, there was a police officer at the door. There was two of them. And it's like every turn of the way, it was like there was no surprise that it was coming. And it wasn't that he was a bad guy. He was a good guy. He had a good heart. You know, he was fun to be around when he was clean and focused and attentive to getting shit done. But he was just intolerable. And it just got to the point where I just cut him out. And had I let him and maybe other people that he got involved with, because there was always somebody that he would collaborate with or associate with that he would bring over to our place, and he'd also get smashed or stoned out of his mind and trip over something and start breaking things in the house. And I remember one time he tried to get in the house and we weren't back from the club yet, and because he was pissed off and drunk out of his mind, he ripped the screen door off the front of the house. This is a house that we rented, by the way. He ripped the screen door off the front of the house and just kind of left it hanging there. You know, if you allow these people into your life, and I've done this, if you allow these people into your life, they're going to hold you back. I've said this before. We have people that are sails that will fill our sails with wind and air and drive us forward. And we have people that are anchors, and anchors hold you back. And it's funny that I keep mentioning this because I keep watching so many sailing videos on YouTube now. But you got to cut those anchors loose, man. You know, they hold you back. You can only permit people into your life. And the sooner that you learn this lesson, honestly, I wish I learned this lesson in my 20s, because it would have saved me a lot of time and a lot of stupid choices and decisions, spending time with or surrounding myself with people that, you know, didn't have that didn't want to level up, that didn't want me to level up, that didn't want to level up themselves. They just wanted to be mediocre. And that's fine. There's people like that. But once you identify them, you got to let them go. You have to cut them loose. There's no two ways about it. And that might mean that you're going to have to cut loose, you know, friends that you were, you know, hanging out with in high school for the longest time. You know, the good friend of mine that was clean, that had to separate himself from this guy, had really struggled with it because he was good friends with him throughout the high school and they had a lot of history together and all that sort of stuff. You have to be able to do that, man. When people do that to you, and they really let you down in that sense, you got to let them go. And there should be nothing that is off the table, you know, if I'm being honest. When I was in my, I want to say, second or third year running my debt business in my early 30s, I ended up getting into a serious problem with ultimately what was my best friend of, like, you know, 25, 30 years or, you know, something like that at that point. I think it was 25 years. And, you know, he was living in my house. I actually rescued this guy from his shitty relationship with a single mommy. I remember his mom called me from the States to beg me to have him stay there. And I was okay with that because he was a good friend of mine. He was, he was there for me. But he just went down the shitty path of, like, greed, man, and started collaborating with, like, really, really bad guys that got heavily involved in, like, cocaine, like really bad drugs and stuff like that. And it was all about money. And the friendship took a back seat, you know, like it used to be bros all the time, like, you know, my brother. And I ended up having to sue the guy and cut him loose. And the stupid thing was he deserved everything that he got. And then after all of that, dude had the balls to, like, come at me later on and, like, you know, maybe we can patch us up and water under the bridge. We'll just forget the salt. No, you got to ghost people like that. They are done. Once they prove, once somebody shows you who they really are, it's incumbent upon you to let them go, to cut those assholes loose from your life. They're out there. And I know right now there's people watching this broadcast, right, that are thinking to themselves, yeah, I know one, maybe two, maybe five guys, you know, in their inner circle that are problematic for them. You got to cut those guys loose, man. Got to cut them loose. Your circle of influence is always going to dictate the limits to your success. The more that I surrounded myself with focused, intentional, good people, which didn't really happen until my 30s. My life improved significantly, leaps and bounds. I stopped allowing loser women into my life. I stopped allowing loser friends into my life. I stopped getting involved with people that I should never be involved with, that are tremendously problematic for guys being successful. You know, like I always say, guys, it's incumbent upon you as a man. You have the burden of performance. Guys, do me a huge favor. I'm looking at the views versus the likes. There's some likes there, but way more viewers watching live. Just take your mouse, slide over, and hit that thumbs up button for me. It helps me out a ton. That's all I'm asking you to do here. Let's talk a little bit more about these. Thank you. Yeah, I see that number just went up huge. Thanks so much, guys. Let's talk a little bit more about the dark side of the webs. We did a show the other day on Rule Zero on Troy's channel. We invited haters on to let us know what their grievances were, to air their grievances with us. And you're always going to have people that are going to hate on your ass as you become better in life, guys. Understand this. You level up, you lose fat, you make more money, you drive a nicer car, you have a hotter girlfriend, you have a girlfriend that's better than the last one. You know, they're always going to find something to hate on you for. A lot of the time it's manufactured. They actually aren't truthfully haters. These guys are like your biggest fans. They're you know, they'll creep you on the internet, they'll follow everything you do, they watch all your shit, and then the biggest complaint that they'll have, like when we were running the show, I think there was two guys that came on that had grievances for me, and this one guy was like, oh, well, you're a grifter because you're profiting from what you're doing. And my question to him was, well, do you go to work for free, right? Because I can't do this for free. I have to charge for certain elements of what I do. But yet I have 700 free videos on my channels. Yet I broadcast over 70 episodes on Before the Trainwreck for free and brought in incredible people to share their stories and their narratives with them. But there's these people out there that are always going to look for something to hate on you for. These are a big chunk of the loserdom, the dark part of the interwebs that just will never go away. And they're always going to try to infiltrate you. And if you let them in, they will ruin your day. You just can't let them in. Let them sit on the sidelines and point and sputter and try to flick boogers at you and get all upset and make up reasons why they're pissed off. The truth of the matter is, these people that want to bring you down, they're like crabs in a bucket. You know, they want to pull you down into their shitty area, you know, of the webs. It's like, you know, I don't want you to be successful. I don't want you to drive nice cars. I don't want you to have women rich. I don't want you to have money. You don't deserve any of those things. You need to sit in that corner over there and work for free and be a loser like the rest of us. No, I don't need to be that way. And you don't need to be that way. You can be better. And it just begins with you understanding that you deserve that, that you're entitled to become a better version of yourself. Because as long as you sit around and sulk like a coward, you're always going to find other people that are going to want to sit around and sulk like cowards. I could go on and on about that episode. It was a bit of a eye-opening experience. I was expecting better haters, really. Like, I thought they were going to come with legitimate grievances, but they were just like, okay, I see why you guys are all losers, right? So you have to identify these people as quickly as possible and then just cut them out. And they're not going to like it. They don't like being called losers. They don't like being ghosted. They don't want you to lose their number. They want you to come down to their level, right? They want you at their level, which is down at the bottom. They don't want you up here. They don't want you up here. They don't want you, you know, at the top of the pyramid. They want you down there with them, sulking with them. These are people you got to cut out of your life. Stop consuming crappy content on the interwebs. It's out there, right? Like, there's loads and loads of stuff out there telling you that you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to make enough money because there's not enough money out there to be made, and that money's bad and all the rich people have it and they're too greedy. You know, they're going to tell you that you're never going to be good looking enough to get women. They're going to tell you things like game doesn't work, or don't buy John's course because it's, what was the words that they use? Snake oil salesman, you know, something like that. It's like, dude, if I endorse something because I've seen it and I know the material's good, it's because it works, right? So these guys are just like that. You just have to come to the understanding that
the process of identifying the influential circle that you allow around you is very, very important. It's incredibly important. Men are tribal, okay? Men are, the way of the man is the way of the gang, I think is the way that Jack put it in The Way of Men. And you surround yourself with like-minded guys that have your back, that you will test, and that will test you. The people that I've seen try to test me, you know, like the haters, as they're so-called, their tests are pathetic. They have no tests that are even worth my while or my attention. You need men that will test you. You know, iron sharpens iron is what they say. It's why I like guys like Rolo, Troy, Ryan, John, even though, you know, John gets a lot of hate. These guys are smart and they test you and they test themselves. You have to surround yourself with guys that are willing to hold you accountable to work that you're doing and to be tested. So that's a real important part of that. Let me grab this super chat here real quick from Anon. He says, thanks for the €5. He says, €5. The more I succeed, the more close friends start trying to insult me, question my lifestyle choices. When they get toxic, sounds harsh, but cuts them off. Absolutely. And guys, I hate to say this, it's not just friends. There's going to be people in your family that you're probably going to have to put some distance between. If they're not going to support your mission, and that's okay. That's totally okay. You know, you can share DNA with them, but not share Thanksgiving, you know, dinner tables with them. That's totally fine. You have to decide again who you're going to let on your inner circle. Just sharing chromosomes with somebody or DNA with somebody that you were born into a family or household with, does not leave them entitled into your inner circle, into your inner world, into your life. Okay, so just remember that. That's another good point that Conk made there. He says, it's good, but don't forget to replace, not just to remove. It's not worth the hermit struggle. So that's where guys go into like a bit of a monk mode and they don't get out there and network or interact with other people because maybe they cut too many anchors off, but they're not finding new people to surround themselves with that are chasing excellence, that are after game. You want to stop whining and start winning. This is a really, really important lesson to learn. Your average comes from the five people on your inner circle at the end of the day. You will always become the average of those five people that you spend the most time with. Let's talk about your physical presence speaking louder than you think. I get requests from guys on my channel. You've seen them by now. You know, somebody will send me a request. They make a donation. I read it out. And without a shadow of a doubt, like I just did one the other day that I was editing. I'll use this as a real quick example because this will be released on the channel soon. I'm probably going to try to put it out tomorrow, so this is relevant. But guy is obsessed over his neighbor, wants to be intimate with women, is working for free, doing certain jobs when he shouldn't be, works in a call center. He's got a healthy endocrine system, so he's attracted to women. He wants to get involved with them, but he's just getting no wins whatsoever. None at all. What did I have to work with? His email. In every single request, people have the opportunity to link me their Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, whatever, all the social links over there so I can see them, so I can see what I'm dealing with, so I can offer areas of improvement, which I'm going to tie in a second with this physical presence component. But they don't. They don't, because they want to rely on the written word and hope there's something there that they can just snap a finger and fix. But that's just one part of the component of it. Your physical presence speaks louder than you think. We're visual, okay? There's a reason why our eyes are in the front of our face, okay? We've got that telescopic vision. Herbivores, animals that get eaten, for example, have their eyes on the side of their head, so they have as much vision as possible to see the predators coming. Predators have their eyes in the front of their head, so they can have that depth perception. That's why humans are built that way, with our eyes in our front. We have to have physical presence. We have to have prowess, okay? Most guys out there, I'm just going to be honest with you, most guys out there, and I'm glad that the gyms are open, and when I see guys at the gym, it's mostly younger men in there doing the work, lifting weights, and they're doing the proper exercises like deadlifts and throwing around some heavy shit, and I'm really pleased to see that. But most of the guys out there, I'll be honest with you,
they're walking around with female breast, you know, material, like they literally have breasts, okay, because the estrogen levels in their body are so high because of what they consume and what they put in and on their body. And people laugh when I say stuff like this. They think, oh, you're going overboard, Rich. Why did you have this Dr. Anthony J on from Estrogeneration talking about all that stuff? That's a little much. Go read the book. You know, there's a reason why I bring these guests on. If you didn't see that episode, it was on Playing to Win. I don't know what the number was. It's somewhere around 15. But Dr. Anthony J, Estrogeneration was a book. Go watch it. There's a lot of guys out there that don't look like men. There's a lot of men out there that come off as weak soy boys. And that's not acceptable. You have to have a strong physical masculine presence. If you want to be respected by peers of men and be desired by women, there's no way around it. You have to signal that. And not everybody can do that. I get that. You know, the big argument that a lot of the black pillar guys are, well, it's impossible. Not everybody can be like fit and muscular, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, fine. You're either going to find a way to make it happen, you know, to reach your genetic potential, or you're going to find excuses as to why you can't reach your genetic potential. Oh, I'm not tall enough. I don't have the right bone structure. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, they got more stories than Walt Disney manufactured in their head and a problem for every solution that you offer. Cut those people out. Get rid of them. The guys that are listening to this right now that are nodding their head going, yeah, he's probably right. I should probably consider that because when I get out of the shower and I look down, I can't see my Johnson because I'm all belly fat, but I'm 22. And I see this picture of Rich here on the internet and he's 47 and he's jack juicy as AF. It's because I've done the work. I look like this in my 20s. I've not changed over the years, okay? It's just a matter of you getting out there and having that physical presence, the strength, and reaching your genetic potential. Again, men in general have the burden of performance. Women don't. They just have to show up and look pretty. They don't have any obligation beyond that, really. Super chat from Elliot says, great content as always. Thanks for the great work. Thank you for the donation, brother. Conk just posted the Estrogenics interview in the YouTube chat. So if you're not watching this on YouTube, I'm going to copy and paste it again. If you came in late, get your ass over there. Please watch this on YouTube. Thanks, Conk, for that. Just open that up in another window. You can watch that afterwards. If you're listening to this on podcast, because I know some of you guys listen to this on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, you know, all that stuff. Just search on my channel under the playlist Playing to Win for Dr. Anthony J and watch that. Get your ass in gear. Okay. At the end of the day, you have work to do. You have work to do if you're not the strongest, best version of yourself. I know Elliot Hulse gets flack from time to time because of what he does and some of the things that he's preaching about. But at the end of the day, he made a life and a business, you know, for himself. Talking about becoming stronger. He's a strong man, right? Get your ass out there and develop physical masculine traits. Your physical appearance speaks louder than you think. People notice when you walk into a room when you're jacked. People don't notice when you walk in as a scrawny loser. They see you as a scrawny loser. I'm not saying you're all going to become, you know, jacked and juicy in the next year, but start doing some work, eating properly, getting your rest done. I'm not ever going to do videos on this channel about, you know, my routine, how I work out, what my protocols are, because it's all out there on everybody else's channel. There's so much free material out there, and I learned it all myself. And at the end of the day, you guys know what needs to be done. Move more, lift heavy shit, eat better, sleep more. It's not magic, okay? There's no magic formula. Let's go into the next point. How are we doing for time here? 30 minutes in. Buttes. Let me grab a quick sip of my ginger tea here. We're going to take a little break. All right. Next point I wanted to make is, and this is something that I only came across in the last year. I'll be honest, guys. You've heard me talk about this if you followed me for a while. Can you be lethal should it be called upon you? Can you F somebody up? I'm not saying that you're going to go out there and just start F-ing people up, but do you have the capacity, should it be called upon you, to be lethal? Women love a civilized man that can be dangerous. men love to be around civilized men that can be dangerous. I didn't know any of these things until I joined the dojo, until I started doing the cardio conditioning, which is like nothing you've ever done. I don't care how much cycling you've done, any kind of cardio work that you've ever done, CrossFit, nothing compares to the workout routines that they'll throw at you in a dojo to condition your cardio. Trust me on this. And then on top of that, not only do you condition your cardio so your heart's working better, and by the way, when your heart works better, you think clearer, your dick works better, everything about your life improves. So not only is the cardio conditioning an important part of it, but you also learn competency skills, striking if you're in boxing, grappling if you're on the ground, self-defense stuff if you're in Krav Maga. Learn how to be lethal. Carry yourself in a confident masculine frame, but also learn how to F people up should the need be called upon you. There's some dangerous places in this world. There's some dangerous places in the city block, perhaps, that you even live in, that you may avoid at certain points or times of the day because they're dangerous. That's fine. You know, you're intelligent about that. But if something happens, do you know how to handle it? I don't think a lot of guys do. I mean, when I look at the state of a lot of guys, again, walking around obese, carrying around breast material as men, I don't look at them as lethal. I mean, they're sure as hell not going to run away. And they're probably not able to strike. They're probably not able to deal with any kind of combat maneuvers. They're going down hard, right? So I think that's an important part of starting to win, because we're talking about chalking up some wins on the board here, okay? I'm not talking about you, one of you guys in the next 30 days developing the next Facebook, PayPal, Spotify, you know, whatever, you know, dorky app that needs to come out next. All I'm saying is let's start chalking up some wins and stop sulking about what we've been doing, you know, what we've been working on. Are you competing in life and how? Now, I'm going to get some flack on this because I always do, but video games don't count, guys. Video games can be a fun pastime, okay? They can be entertaining. You can do them with your mates. I've done them. I know, okay? But that doesn't count. It doesn't count. It's not real. You know, you develop wicked hand-eye coordination, but that's it. That's all you get out of that. You don't develop anything else. Doesn't matter what you do. Find something that you like. Is it mountain biking? Is it volleyball? Volleyball is great if you want to interact with women. Just join a co-ed volleyball, you know, beach volleyball team. There's lots of hot ones there. Lots of co-ed sports, in fact, that, you know, the guys can join where they can start chalking up some win with the ladies and start getting exposed to opportunities to interact and be social and network with other people and stuff like that. But find something that you like to compete in. It doesn't even have to be a team sport. I'm not a team sport guy. I'll be honest with you. I kind of hate playing a lot of team sports unless I'm playing them with close friends. I played a lot of beach volleyball when I was younger. But for the most part, it's been motorsports, motorcycle racing, car racing, downhill skiing. These are all individual sports. Anything that's head-to-head type of competing, okay, like chess, okay? That chessboard over there gets used. I know sometimes people look at it and be like, how come you never move it? Or that piece is on the wrong block. Buzz. Okay, whatever, fine. That's, you know, that's your opinion, hater. But compete in life. Do something that allows you to apply some strategy. And not with like dots going down a screen that you push buttons like Candy Crush or some bullshit like that. Something that requires you to compete against another person. Okay. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Here, I'm going to grab the join link, invite link. There we go. Invite link, copy to clipboard. And I'm going to post it in the chat here. So if you guys want to ask a question and get help on something you're stuck on tonight's topic, specific, join and you can ask. I've got a few more points I'm going to make before I wrap up. Ask a question. All right. Let's copy that. I'll probably spam it once or twice. Okay. Make sure if you do join, guys, you have a good internet connection. There's not noise in the background, preferably with a wired headset. I know some of you guys are listening to the podcast recording, but I'm just holding up a wired headset with a microphone in it. You'll need that. Okay. Please do that for me. Let's talk about making bank and can you make it rain? Having a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year government job that you've been at for 4 years, that's going to pay you $100,000 in 8 or 10 years time, that's not wealth. That's not the ability to make it rain. That's coloring within the lines. That's cookie cutter stuff. And then there's a lot of people that love that stuff. They love the job security. They love the pension. They love the short work hours. They love the fact that for the most part, they're probably never going to get fired. You need to be able to make it rain as a guy. Again, men are only loved under the condition that they bring something to the table. That's not just by women, but by society in general, by their family, by other men in general. What that looks like for you, you're going to have to decide for yourself. But I've said this before, you'll never see a guy crying in a Lamborghini. Doesn't happen. There's no people sitting in a parking lot in their Lambo crying. I've never seen it. It's impossible. You can't. How can you be unhappy sitting in an exotic car with 600 horsepower right behind your head that everybody wants to look at and it makes all these cool sounds and it's fast as hell, right? Figure out what making bank looks like for you. Whatever's better than what got you to the sulking. Incremental improvement. I don't know if it's a job change, if you create a side hustle, you start up a YouTube channel. All of these things are opportunities. Like, guys, we live in a world today where the gatekeepers have been removed. If you want to be an author and publish a book, do it. Nothing's stopping you. Absolutely nothing stopping you. If you want to be on video and create content there, absolutely nothing stopping you. Upload your videos. You press the same upload button that I do, that PewDiePie does, that Casey Neistat does. It's the same button. Go out there and do the work. Whatever that looks like for you, you're going to find a way to make it rain. There's no time for anybody to sit around and sulk in a depressive state when they're getting successive wins. Whatever those wins are, if you're not walking a mile a day, start there. If you're not able to bench press your own weight, start with half your weight. If you're not able to squat your own weight or squat one plate, start with 25 on each side or the bar. Start with something that gets you those successive wins. Again, it's about chalking up some wins on the board. Athena, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate that. Do you have game and do women have genuine desire for you? Now, I don't know a lot of guys that feel like they've been zeroed out and keep sulking when they have an abundance of women in their life, beautiful women more specifically, that have genuine desire for them. Women aren't attracted to guys sulking. Women are not attracted to like the black pill. They're not attracted to doom and gloom and just give up on life. Nobody likes that. Men don't like it. Friends of yours don't like it. Your family certainly doesn't like it. Women are not attracted to that. They're not going to throw themselves at you in that sort of state. It's just not going to happen. So the question about game arises. Is game important? Yeah. Is it everything? No. I always tell you guys, chase excellence, not women. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you'll never see a guy crying or sulking in a Lamborghini with a hot chick in the passenger seat. Am I right? Doesn't happen, right? Level up, you know, figure out what that looks like for you. I'm not saying go out and buy the Lambo and have the hottie in the passenger seat with you. That's, you know, as you're driving, but, start with something, you know, start with that hopped up Honda Civic, move to the BMW, move up from there. If you're a car guy, just move up. That's, you know, it's just about moving up. I remember when I was 16 years old, I was like 16 or 17. I used to work at this nursery. It was called White Rose here in Canada. They had like all these plants and bushes and peat moss and garden furniture and shit like that. It was some labor intensive work. And I'd sit at the bus stop waiting to take the bus to my job. And I'd sit there looking at all the cool cars driving by. And what was the first cool car? 1988 Camaro, IROC Z. Convertible. I bought the car when I was in my early 20s. then the next car for me was, you know, like the German sort of car. And I got in the BMWs and the Audis and stuff like that. And then it was like, okay, I want something with the engine in the middle that has like, you know, cool ass sounds. And I was like, all right, we'll get the R8 with the V10. It's like, level up. There's no opportunity for you to sulk in life as a guy. You're either growing or dying. You know, that's what it boils down to. You're either growing, you're becoming better, or you're dying. That's the condition of everything on this planet. It's either getting better or it's getting worse. You know, what camp do you want to sit in, right? You want to sit in the sulking camp, or do you want to sit in the do the work camp? That's how you start chalking up some of those wins. Let me grab the super chat here real quick. I see a couple of you guys in the waiting area. Just give me a few moments. I got a few more points. Ray, I'll bring you in first, so just sit tight. What advice would you give? Oh, that's a generous super chat. Thanks, brother. What advice would you give a 27-year-old starting his own business? I'm a truck driver looking to go into business for myself, then eventually flip the money I made there doing something else. See, that join link, hit it. I'm going to drop it again. Jaleel, I'll put you at the front of the line because you gave me a big super chat. So if you can hit that join link, this is the kind of thing that you need to chop up back and forth, if you know what I'm saying. This is something I get a lot of. It's a lot of broad, I'm this age, I want to start my own business, I'm doing something right now like driving a truck, I don't know what I want to do, but then I want to flip the money into something else. What's your advice? We need to talk, okay? We'll call this Free Consult Monday. So click that link. There's some conversations we need to have around that. Because the answer I have right now is make smart decisions and do the work. I did a video for my community workshop on shit not to do in business. Get on my email list, because when you're on my email list, I send out a lot of those workshops now. Where's my banners? I'll just put it up on the screen here while I keep chatting. There. entrepreneursandcars.com/red-flags. Get on that email list so you can get all that exclusive content, because I don't put it on the channel. It's like, it's a 50-minute workshop covering all the shit that you shouldn't be doing in business. I know that if I publish it on the channel, nobody's going to watch it. So it's on the email list. Get on the list. Boom. Okay. We talked about making bank. We talked about competing. We talked about being able to F somebody up, physical presence. Do you have game? Let's talk about depression and mental health issues, and then we'll take a few of these call-ins before we wrap up. So, a lot of people like to rely on, I'm so depressed. I just can't kick this depression. I don't know what to do. What do I do, Rich? How do I kick the depression? Well, first of all, get off the stupid meds. Okay, there's been lots of studies. There's a couple of TED Talks on it even now, I think, out there if you look them up, but SSRIs, antidepressants, get off the damn meds. They make you fat. They make you numb. They make you have no sexual desire whatsoever. They don't do anything good for you. All they do is they just basically zombify you. They put you in a complacent state where you don't really care. And if that's your objective, where you just don't really want to care and you want to be medicated by a pharmaceutical company sitting around like a blob, you're never going to kick, you know, being at the bottom of the barrel. You're never going to kick being zeroed out. That's the starting point. The point after that is, one of the best things that you can do to beat feeling bummed out and depressed, go to the gym. Like, have you ever seen, what was that documentary? Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I remember when I saw this when I was younger, he's talking about like, I'm coming in the bedroom, and when I go to the gym and I get the pump, I'm coming in the gym as well. And it's like, I'm coming everywhere. And it's like dude's coming everywhere when he's talking about it. But truthfully, when you go to the gym and you get that pump and you get the endorphins running through your body and you feel good, you can't feel depressed. It's impossible to feel depressed. Nobody walks out of a good workout feeling depressed. They feel good. They feel uplifted. They feel strong. Move. Get outside, breathe fresh air, start with a walk, you know, go for a hike, get a mountain bike and ride a trail, get out under the sun. The vitamin D is good for you. Don't put on sunscreen. Sunscreen, again, one of the things we covered with Dr. Anthony J when we talked about his estrogeneration book is all sunscreens that aren't zinc-based are bad for you. They're estrogenic, okay?
It's and having your endocrine serum levels off topic, it's going to make you depressed, dude. If you're walking around with man boobs, you're going to feel depressed because you're estrogenic in your body. There's just no two ways about it. Yeah, like as a guy, you have to learn these lessons and take ownership for your life because nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to hold your hand and say, all right, Kyle, come on over here, follow me, and let's go talk about, you know, why you have man boobs and you're fat and depressed and no girls want to talk to you and you can't beat anybody up and you can barely walk upstairs without losing your breath, right? It's something that you guys have to take ownership for and start working on for yourself. And guess what? Work is dressed in overalls and it looks hard because it's work. You have to do the work, right? So the whole, you know, kicking depression and mental issues, I don't believe in any of that crap, to be honest with you. I don't believe in antidepressants. I don't think that they're the right solution. I don't think that they're good for you. In fact, all the data says that are not good for you. And there's no reason for you to be bummed out. If nobody that's having successive wins in life is bummed out. Nobody. There's no guy sitting in a parking lot with a hot chick in his car crying in his Lamborghini from all the success that he's had in his life. If you want to kick depression and success, start having some small successive wins. If you have debt, if you have $50,000 worth of credit card debt over 5 or 6 different products, just pay off the smallest one and feel good about that. Start with something small. Have small successive wins. Start somewhere. I'm not saying, you know, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time sort of thing, right? You just start. The worst thing that you can do is be inactive and not do anything whatsoever. In the absence of clarity, do something. I promise you, some clarity will come from moving, from doing something. Those are my talking points. I like this guy's comment here. Depressed, find something heavy, pick it up, put it down, repeat. Haven't been on Zoloft in 3 years thanks to that advice. Bro, simple as that. I'm telling you guys, it works. People laugh at me. They don't want to listen. They want to point and sputter and flick boogers, but they know I'm right. All right, Ray, you ready to go, bud? I'm going to pull you into the stream. What's your question, man? I'm shaking. Hang on.
No, I don't have.
I didn't put my headphones in. My bad. Stand by. I'm used to doing these shows solo, so sometimes I forget to plop them in. All right, go.
Oh, now I have light.
I can't hear you.
Are you hearing me?
Hang on. One more adjustment here. Check, check. Give me an audio check.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Boom.
Okay. No, well, I just want to thank you because...
I feel like I'm looking in a mirror.
Yeah, I felt...
Bald head, glasses, beard, got some muscle. All right, talk to me.
No. I just want to thank you for your videos. I just know you like a couple of months ago. And I, of course, have this stories of depression after a breakup and all that. And, well, I am just now consuming your videos. I saw the opportunity now to join. So I say, let's click and we'll have a conversation. I don't really have a question in this moment. I think I agree with most of the things that you are saying now.
So you're agreeing, don't have a question, you just want to express some gratitude.
Yeah.
I'll take it. All right, man. I'll let you go. Thanks. All right. I had two guys in the waiting area, but I lost them both. Join link is there. If you have a question, hit it, guys. Now is your opportunity. Get in and ask a question. And we can talk about whatever it is you're stuck on that's keeping you bummed out, zeroed out. Feeling worse than nothing. I had a call a couple of days ago with this, about a week ago, with this guy that had really, really bad one-itis. He was asking all kinds of questions about this chick that broke up with him months ago even. And he was still stuck on it. And he didn't know how to get over it. And he was so overly focused on what happened, how could she do this to me, she's still got my stuff, you know, 1 minute she's hot for me and then she's frigid as hell, why did she start banging her ex, you know, going back to him, blah blah blah, all of these questions come up. You got to stop beating yourself up over stuff that's out of your control. There's only one part of the universe you can control, guys, and that's yourself. I got Chris in the waiting area, so let's pull him in and see what he's got to say. What's up, dude? You're muted, by the way. You got a line through your microphone. I don't know if you can. There you go.
Oh, hey. I didn't really actually have a question. I guess I do.
All right, come at me.
I was thinking of one, Knockdown. What's a good place to go physically right now to meet people that are ambitious, that want to improve themselves? My line of work, I'm like an independent filmmaker, artist. What do you suggest right now in the physical world as opposed to online world?
In the physical, 100% physical world, as much as possible. There's online communities that do work. I have one, by the way. You know, you guys know right. that. But in the real world, if you want to hang around guys that win at life, that do work, that are successful, that don't whine, that don't whinge, like, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, new friends, new people that want to make something happen, like you're talking about.
Dojo, man, get into combat sports. You know, just figure out, just go to a multidiscipline sort of dojo that offers a lot of different classes and different areas, and try out boxing, try kickboxing, try Krav Maga, try whatever they got, and just, you know, figure out a class that you like with an instructor that you dig, with the right type of condition that you like. There's no losers that go to places like that. There's losers that will go to places like that want to level up, but one of two things will happen. They'll level up and they'll become better, or they'll quit. Either way, they don't stick around for long. So in my opinion, that's one of the best places that you can go to if you want to be around guys that do hard work, that aren't whingers and whiners and don't sit around sulking about a hand that they've been dealt. Gyms are great as well. I'm trying to think of like group sort of sports and environments. Mountain biking is another favorite of mine too. You know, if you can join like a club that does trails, like they do rides, that's some hard shit, man. And it's a lot of fun and it's a good group of guys, but it's not a team sport. It's like, okay, you shoot the shit, you do your run, you have some conversations kind of in between, and then maybe you're sort of done with it. But look for something that pushes you.
Mm-hmm.
Look for something that pushes you hard.
I did karate for a while, but I need to get back into it, or at least a judo or a jiu-jitsu. There's a place probably like 15 minutes from me, but again, I don't know if it's open right now with everything going on.
Yeah, just find something. And like, there's going to be no hot women at a dojo. I'll be honest with you. It's all dudes. And if there's any women that show up, they're like Russian bears. So don't go there thinking that it's going to be a honeypot. If you want a honeypot, somebody just send in the comments over here. Hey, Rich, what do you think about yoga for a guy? Go to hot yoga. It's a honeypot. You know, I've got a couple friends that do that and they smash. That's where you can go to meet some women that, like, your odds are very high. You go into a place like that, there's going to be lots of single moms, but they're going to be hot. So whatever, you guys figure that out. But yeah, that's my view, Chris, on that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rich. Appreciate it.
All right. I'll pull Brandon in here in just a sec. Let me grab this, super chat. Digi Nomad says, when you got zeroed out at work, you pivot to entrepreneurship. How would you have made the transition had you not already been in the industry? No, Mike. So I got zeroed out at work when they threw a package at me like 3 weeks after I bought my first house. And I was like, okay, how the fuck do I pay for this house now? But that was the pivot into entrepreneurship. How would I have made the transition? I was forced to the transition, if I'm being honest, because I was unemployed and I knew that I didn't want to go work for anybody else. In fact, for the year or two leading up to it, I knew that I was pretty much done. I was just trying to figure out what the exit strategy would look like and how I would pull the trigger. If I'm being honest, I was a bit of a pussy and I should have quit. But, you know, sticking around and for that extra year and a bit, I probably didn't learn that much, if I'm being honest. I probably made a few extra contacts. I made a lot more money. I made some more bonuses. But if I could go back in a time machine, they have a saying for entrepreneurs where it's like, how do you know when you should fire somebody? And the answer to that question is the first time you know that you need to get rid of them. That's when you do it. So if you feel as an employee that you need to get out of a job, I'm going to make the same recommendation. Get out of it the moment that you feel like you should be out of that job. Okay, if that makes sense. So thanks for that super chat. Let's see who's in here next. Let's pull in. I think Brandon, I said you were waiting. There you go. What's up, Brandon?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Great. So, you know, I've been watching you for a while, and this is really outside of my comfort zone. So I'm just going to tell this quick story real quick and get your opinion. So I graduated about a year ago, got a job at the biggest company in Ohio, P&G, got laid off during the coronavirus. I was making six figures. Now I'm sitting on a decent amount for that time I was there. But now it's so difficult finding a job right now. And I'm all about entrepreneurship. I've started several businesses. A lot have failed and some have succeeded. But I'm just trying to like find a path because I'm having a lot of internal conflict, a little bit of anger today, especially when I'm thinking about like just it's so painful finding a job. Like I made so many resumes work out, you know, that helps definitely. But there's a general sum.
Okay, so you're not working, you don't want to work for somebody else, you want to create something.
That would be the ideal goal. And I've
so that's
throwing ideas.
Yeah, so that there is basically the same question that, let me pull it up over here, where was it? That Jaleel dropped. Hey, I'm 27, you know, want to start his own business, I'm a truck driver. So this guy's working right now, but it's the same sort of thing. It's like, there's no clarity on what that business looks like.
Yeah, I hear you there. But in my situation, I don't necessarily have amazing finances to necessarily start that business. And from what I hear to other entrepreneurs in the space, you know, focus on getting that one stable income in. For me, that'd be a job, and then spend that extra time building that business. So right now, I've just been mostly focusing on finding that stable income area.
How old are you?
I'm 23, almost. I turn 24 tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you got a lot of runway to go, and you can play to win for a while still, right? I mean, you can still flop and lose a few times, and it's not going to affect you that much in the long term. I mean, ideally, you want some wins chalked up.
Flopped at least 12 times.
Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations. And how many times have you won?
Won about twice.
And what were the wins on?
I started a e-commerce store where I was reselling sneakers. And at this time, I was making about $2,000 to $4,000 a month just off these reselling the sneakers. And that was great. And then actually, Nike came and shut my business down because they said, "Oh, you're not allowed to resell our products." And I didn't want to fight it legally, so I was just like, "I don't have it. I didn't want to." I just
bro, you don't fight Nike. Win. You don't fight Nike.
Yeah, you don't fight Nike.
No.
So I just kept that small win, and then I'm all about digital marketing. That's what I was doing at P&G. So right now, I'm trying to. I'm really into day trading, and my father passed away, and I'm using his inheritance and trying to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. But at this current moment in time, I'm trying to create some sort of system how I can, because what I'm finding right now in the day trading scheme is there's a lot of services out there that are selling day trading tips, day trading services, options, like, and it's very sketchy, very schemey. So right now I'm working on developing a website, and you try an entrepreneurship stuff. So this is what I'm doing. Having some sort of layout where you can see all these individual people that are selling their services in the financial space. And there's people that can rate them on a chopping block where they can say, okay, these people are good. You can trust them with your money. And that's a general idea. I'm currently building it, and it's a pain in the ass trying to get these filters to work. But yeah. I've just been so angry, just can't find a job, and entrepreneurship is very difficult for me right now. But I just know if you just keep on going, you just keep on hitting it, like at the gym, you're going to eventually reach your goals. And
yeah, it's an interesting business model. I like the it's like an auto trader, but for, you know, financial services claims where they kind of organize it, you can get kind of rated on it. So. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, it's service based, which is good because you're not moving a physical product. So I'm down with that. It's online, which is good. So I'm down with that. It can generate recurring revenues. So that's good. So I'm down with that part.
Yes. It's more affiliate based.
Yeah. I don't see a lot of downside to this aside from the work that you have to put in to make it work properly, which is going to be, you know, the big problem. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that advertise on,
YouTube pre-roll ads on Twitter that make all kinds of big promises about buy my course and just copy and paste my code and just do what I do and you'll be a billionaire too. And it's like, bullshit. Yeah. All that is mostly bullshit.
Yeah, I've been a part of that.
Yeah. Like, so
buying services just under delivered.
So how do you monetize that is the next question then.
Well,
how do you monetize telling people what's good and what's bad?
Well, a good frame of reference I've been using is, where's this company called? I think it's called Atera, something like that. Basically what it is, it's a software service company where you can compare softwares. And whenever you click that link, and let's say your company buys that software, I'm sure you know how affiliate systems work.
Yeah.
A lot of any sort of financial service company that's selling their financial program, they're going to have an affiliate link if they're anything worth of value. So you can always sign up for their affiliate program and then just plug those affiliate links and then have people review them on a chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
That's a general idea.
All right. So build it, man. So what are you waiting for? Build it. I mean, you're not working.
I am building it, actually.
Good.
I'm in the part where you have to filter all this data. And I'm telling you, when it comes to actually coding this and filtering mass amounts, it is very painful.
But aggregating data is very hard work. So make sure you like doing it.
Oh, I don't like doing it, but I love the end product. And that's what I got the end in mind once I create that.
Okay. But it's still going to be something that you have to hone and refine, which is why I'm saying make sure you like doing it. Because if it starts working, which it should, and then it starts generating money, which it should, because you shouldn't be working for free, contrary to some of the dumbasses out there that think that you should be working for free. But once it starts working and it's throwing off some money, it's going to take some work to maintain. Like, there's a lot of coding work that's required to, you know, continue to manage that too, right? So be really into it is what I'm saying, right? So that you can work for 6 hours and you'd be like, well, that felt like 5 minutes, right? Because you're so into what you're doing. But if you find that it's like killing you to get up every morning to code this stuff and to do it, I'd be looking for something else to do. Just saying. So just marinate on that.
I've got so much of it done already. I'm on the cusp of completing it. I feel like I would be killing myself if I just stopped now.
Good. All right. So
especially how close I am.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, you got lots of runway. So finish the job, see how it goes, launch it, you know, see what happens with the revenue model. You know, maybe the maintenance over the long haul won't be too big, but run it.
Speaking of launching, I don't know what your familiarity in like the startup space, but especially for this particular business model, I'm thinking the best way to, you know, reach to find an audience is going through people in the financial space to talk about it. But then I would think, well, if they have their own financial product, they might be inclined to not advertise it because that is a chopping block where people could possibly say a lot of negative things about them.
Don't. What I would do is once you've got the data on the usefulness of the program, so let's use like a name like Ty Lopez, for example, because he used to run ads like crazy. I haven't seen his ads in a while, to be honest with you. There's a bunch of other bozos now, but let's just use that name. You know, if somebody's going to search for Ty Lopez scam, Ty Lopez review, Ty Lopez crypto trading plugin, Ty Lopez real estate, whatever thing, like whatever the offer is, because people will go searching for it, you should rank number one for that, right? So have the site set up so that people can find it based on them inquiring about comparing the productivity, you know, the usefulness of the course that's offered maybe to something else in the space, right? And then you want to build that list, right? You want to build an audience off that too. Like, that's the other thing, because attention is a currency today. Like, I have the attention of people on YouTube by broadcasting, by continuing to broadcast and continue to do this for free, you know, for as long as that I have, because I keep doing it, right? And as soon as you stop it and you don't have that attention, you don't have that connection, you're going to run into problems. But definitely don't pay to advertise it. I would suggest just getting yourself ranked. So for something like Ty Lopez crypto course reviewed or Ty Lopez crypto course scam, you know, for example, I don't know that he is or isn't. I'm just saying, like, those are the keywords that you want to target, but I think that you already know that, right?
Make sense?
Yeah, I was one of his earliest purchasers of his services, of his programs. And just for your information, when it comes to Tai Lopez, what he does is he actually doesn't necessarily teach the course. He just brings a bunch of people in that's really smart about a particular topic, and then that is the course. And he may be like in the beginning or throughout, but it's usually like a molding of under, and he doesn't really sell it that way, but that's the way it is.
Got it. Okay, cool. All right. So chalk it up, man. Chalk up that win, because that's all it is about chalking up a win on the board. So see if you can get this one to work for yourself.
Yes.
All right,
nice,
man.
Talking to you.
See you, brother. All right. Jaleel said that he's unable to call, but Brandon seems to be like his proxy. So hopefully that conversation helped you a bit, Brandon. Got Jad, I'm going to pull in here. What's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
Another, I feel like I'm looking in a mirror again. I'm like converting the world into bald ass men with beards.
One of the reasons I stopped holding on to scraps, man. Like fucking hell. Like
right on, good.
Look, I wanted to obviously look. I stumbled onto your content because of the whole fucking getting crushed thing, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Crushed by what? Work, girl.
Girl, right? Okay. But. Like, I've changed my whole mindset about women and just maintaining frame on its own. If I could learn one thing and it's maintaining frame, holy shit, changed my life.
Yeah.
But I'm in a situation where I wanted to ask you something. So you're a person that runs your multi-million dollar business, right? And you also create red pill content, right? Mm-hmm. I'm super passionate about red pill content because, look, I've read Rolo's book, I've consumed a lot of red pill content, and not to the point where it's like, oh, I'm now leaning towards black pill, because obviously I've lucked out in the sense that I'm 6'2", right? Like, right? Basic things like that. So when it comes to running your business, how do you feel like those people, those clients, if they stumble upon your red pill content and you're saying stuff like girls don't give a shit. Oh, like
you're talking about if somebody from my debt business watches one of my videos.
Exactly. Right? So, like,
yeah, I've thought about stuff, that. And to be honest with you, if anybody ever raise a grievance or a complaint, I just tell them to pound sand, cause I don't care. Like, at the end of the day, if you have a problem with what I say and you don't like that I run a channel helping guys unscrew their lives and stand up for themselves and have a backbone and how to deal with, I mean, most guys grew up their lives because of women. So that that seems to be the main area that I tend to spend the most time on. There's other reasons why we screw up our lives and make dumb choices, and I like to try to like holistically kind of broaden over that. But honestly, dude, like if somebody filed a complaint, like I'm not in the office anymore. My brother runs a business, you know, for the most part. If he's like, hey, you know, I got this complaint from this customer because, I don't know, she's a single mom and she saw one of your tweets or video or something like that, I'd be like, so? Yeah. Are we getting her out of debt? Is she paying her invoice? Like, who cares?
Right.
If she doesn't like it, she can go and hire another company. It doesn't matter to me. I'm at the point where I just don't care. And that's how you resign yourself to the ZFG sort of like position where you're not worried about that threat, where you're more anti-fragile. It takes a while to get there, though. Like, if I'm being honest with you, it does take a while to get there, right? So
that's what I was going to say. And at the same time, I feel like your line of business would be a little bit different. So from in my sake, I'm not saying I run like a multi-million dollar business. I'm saying that I will be. And it's sort of like in the academics education sort of realm.
Yeah, you can be in trouble with that, especially in that area, because it's very liberal, lefty sort of in that space.
But that's the thing, right? My whole twist on it is you're learning the shit that you never learned in school, right? The fact that you're fucking 18 years old, you have no idea what a tax return is. You have absolute no idea. And they'll give you a credit card that's got $5,000 on it. They'll give you a $200,000 loan that you're willing, like, they give it to you, but they won't give you a $20,000 business loan to start your own shit. Like, it's just putting this mindset into people. And I feel like the whole academic part, if that, like, the red pill content sort of slips into there, it's like, it's a bit iffy.
If you want to talk to guys about, like, the red pill
specifically. I wouldn't use your name and I wouldn't show your face. I create an avatar and do like a voiceover.
Sort of like Carl.
Yeah, well, Carl's a good example. So he uses a voice modulator to disguise his voice. He's written two really good books. He puts out good blog posts, but he mostly just kind of shit posts on Twitter, and he comes on to flick boogers at idiots, really, is what he does. But it's not like he doesn't do it for the income. Like, he has a great job already, and he doesn't want to compromise what he's doing in like the real world with what the red pill, because honestly, dude, at the end of the day, a lot of the guys that consume a lot of this content and they kind of waver from my channel to the next guy's channel to some black pill bullshit, and they maybe start spending some time in some, you know, MGTOW, go buy a doll sort of thing. Yeah. A lot of these guys, they're, how can I put it nicely? They're probably somewhere on the spectrum. You know what I mean? And, and they struggle to deal with, some of the basics when it comes to approaching life with decision making and stuff like that. I was never like that. Like, I never really had a problem with getting girls. The problem that I had was, okay, now that I've got the girl, why do I keep having all these problems? Why don't I know how to, you know, maintain frame? Why are these women hoes? If you know, and I go on and on and on, sort of thing, right? Yeah. But you kind of figure that out because your wounds become your work, which is fine. I mean, you know, that's how I got into it. Right. And that's why I kind of tell the stories that I do, and I teach, you know, I think I'm the only person, honestly, that uses his real name. Me. That's it. I was the only idiot that was like, oh, I'll just start up a channel. Like an idiot. Richard Cooper. Okay, start. And
yeah,
in hindsight, if I were to do it again, I'd probably just come up with another name, you know, for example, but who cares? Like, I'm not too worried about it at this stage. You know what I'm saying, though, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you've got, like, that's what I'm going to say. Like, you've put in the work to the degree where you don't give a shit, right? And you cannot give a shit, and it's not going to affect your...
That's the anti-fragility part of it. So, you know, the theme tonight is how to stop whining and start winning. And this is like top level shit. Like, this is like, okay, Rich is like in his late 40s. He's seen a lot of stuff. He's been through the divorce machine. He's had his heart broken a couple of times. He's, you know, he sees the code in the matrix. The anti-fragility part to me is like, that's like the icing on the cake, the cherry on the top sort of thing. That's like, I can't even describe how that would work, even in five episodes of all this stuff. But getting to that point is, for me, it's really important because, again, I was dumb enough to use my real name, so I have to be at that point. But it's like, what are they going to do? They're going to get me fired? Like, even if I got completely deplatformed off everything, you know, tomorrow, and I went to my computer and YouTube was gone and Twitter was gone and Instagram and everything was gone, okay, fine, no problem. I'll just take my shit and I'll go somewhere else, right?
Yeah. Yeah, which is also never going to happen, right? Like, because you've created this following, like, no one's going to say, oh, we want less people on our platform, right? You've also reached
You'd be surprised. Point. It's like, if, like, Conk's in the chat right now, and he'll probably attest to this, but in my community, I have far different conversations than I can have publicly broadcasting on YouTube. I really have to water it down to be careful. There's things that I get to deliver back there where it's like a free-for-all sort of stuff. There's some things that you kind of have to go through that wake you up to some of these realities. But yeah, like, how old are you now?
Oh, I'm going to be 29 in October.
Yeah, and the business itself is working well?
Look, it's still, the thing is, I have the entire feasibility study, and I even have an investor lined up in the country where I'm going to start the whole thing. Just because of the whole COVID shit.
Yeah.
We're just trying to move past that, but they're ready. And it's a good enough idea that it's going to get like a good chunk of cash in the beginning to get it up and running. So I'm going to guess.
I would spend time on that. Get your wins there. There's like the whole red pill discussion stuff. There's a lot of mental masturbation. There's a lot of guys that don't do a lot of work. And they'll come and go, and it's like, oh, this guy, you know, I think I'm done with him. And then they'll go somewhere else, and they'll come back. And it's like, it's not all rainbows and butterflies and glory. There might be a day where I'm walking down the street and somebody tries to sucker punch me, right? Because of who I am, right? So don't go into it looking for that and trying to help people. One of the first things that a lot of people try to do is like, oh, now that I've become red-pilled, I want to red-pill all my friends. I want to go and broadcast on YouTube, and I will fix the world by giving them all this information. And the grim reality of it is most people don't want it. Most people aren't ready for it. They don't want it. If you try to feed them that pill, they throw it up violently. And you also, you know, create a lot of haters as a result of it. Feminists hate you. Single moms hate you. Like tradcon men hate you. Black pillars hate you. Yeah. God forbid I tell guys that they can do some work to become better. They just want to sulk in the corner and have everybody else join them. Right. It's like, just focus on that business is what I'm saying. Focus on that business, get your wins there. And if you feel like you've become fulfilled with that, right, and you put your feather in your cap, you call it macaroni, and you're done with it, and you kind of made some money, and you want to go and do something like this, fine. You know, maybe look at it then. But I wouldn't go doing it just to kind of like unplug a bunch of other guys, because the truth of the matter is most of them don't want it. It's like, hey, you know, I kind of hate you, but that hypergamy thing's a real bitch. I'm not really sure what to do with it. And how do you like live life knowing that she'll probably just leave you at some point, blah, 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 sort of thing. It's like, okay. Once you hear that, like, 20,000 times, you start to realize that most people don't do much with the information that you give them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Look.
All right.
I think, yeah. Thanks.
All right, brother. See you, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Ciao. I'm going to do one more and then I'm going to wrap it up. Alex, I'll pull you in. I see you waiting there. You can kill your camera if you want. I know you're at work. It's up to you.
Right on, boss man. Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Loud and clear, yeah. What's your question, bro?
So it's timing. It's good timing you're making this podcast, because lately I've been having sort of a weird deal where, because of COVID and all that stuff, and my buddies killing themselves, five of them, by the way, they off themselves.
What?
Yeah. One of them who I'm a friend with, who's a friend of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them OD'd on drugs. They were taking the loser path. Basically, it's like, the doom pill. Sorry. And
got it.
And then the other ones, just, I only found out recently they killed themselves. And so I'm like, oh, crap. Then I went back to reconnect with friends over the past couple of months, right? You know, it's like, hey, we're in this together. Until they, you know. They take the, I think, what was it? Cat P would say the Smith and Wesson plan.
Okay.
They took that. All right.
So what's your question? So come at me.
So obviously I want to restart my life and do great stuff, but I need an alliance. I need allies I need allies during the apocalypse. And I've been filtering the crap out of everybody, and everybody seems to have some tragic past. Is there a point where I'm over analyzing people and filtering out to the point where I'm leaving no rooms for failure
you have to be firm on filtering out the losers from your circle of influence. Again, you know, you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You will. So, I mean, it's unfortunate when people take permanent steps to a temporary problem in their life and do what you described there. I have to be careful with my language because of the YouTubes, but you guys know what I'm saying. But yeah.
I'm getting into that too. Starting a Twitch and a YouTube. I got to do something. I can't just sit around all day and, you know.
Yeah, and if that's your
be on fire.
Yeah, and if that's your gig, then do that. You know, you can broadcast, but the notion of broadcasting ideas on platforms that are available to us is risky. Mm-hmm. You have exposure to, I mean, a lot of guys get deplatformed. A lot of guys run into all kinds of problems, right?
Dr. Disrespect. He's a major Twitch streamer, and they just out of nowhere decided to take him out. He had a contract and everything, exclusivity. And now he's on YouTube right now. You can look this up. It's like,
no, I've heard the story two or three dozen times, right? It's
It's why when you approach broadcasting publicly, you have to, like, I am different when I'm hanging out with my boys. I am different when I'm hanging out with my men's community, because I can be. I can not bother putting up the filter, right? So if that's what you want to do, do it, but just understand that you're going to have to water down the way that you talk so that it's complying with their platform. It's basically them saying, hey, Alex, yeah, if you want to talk to people and you want to broadcast and build an audience, do it. Here's a platform, stand on it. Here's your microphone, yell as loud as you want. But if you say things that they don't like, they're just going to take it out from underneath you. And boom.
Yeah, they just KO your channel without any
right.
question.
And hey, dude, man, like, there's been a lot of guys that have, like, gotten to the point, and it's not just guys. I've seen women do this too, where they get so freaking depressed that they'll do something crazy. Like, there was that chick about a year or two ago that did, like, the lamest dance videos or whatever, and she walked into the YouTube headquarters and shot up the place.
Because, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, because she basically got deplatformed, or she got shadow banned or whatever, and she lost her mind. So you have to be careful not to put too much into it, but build something that gives you the successive wins, right?
It's not going to be it's going to be more like a side gig, because the way I look at it, if I'm going to build a foundation, I need solid ground of sorts, you know, like when you're building a house.
How old are you, Alex?
I'm about to turn 25 next month.
Okay. Can you kick somebody's ass?
After jacking up my back, not this very moment.
What'd you do to your back? It looks like you got a brace around you right now.
Yeah. Well, I injured two discs on my lower tailbone area, and they are I don't know what the technical words are. They're the cushy portion that's in between your discs.
The juicy cushion. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Those went darker, and so as a result, I'm in restrictions, but I'm not wanting to let that stop me, because I can't do that.
You know? So what is that, a brace you have around your torso now here?
Yes,
under
sir.
Your shirt? Yeah, okay. So get that fixed. Get that fixed, because, yep. I mean, if you're going to sit around in your ass all day broadcasting, that stuff's not going to improve for yourself. One of the things that I mentioned in my discussion points is get yourself built up to a point where you're a lethal masculine weapon, but you can walk around in a civil sort of way. Right. Mm-hmm. That's part of winning at life.
Taking the gun safety course this month.
That's a start, but most combat happens hand to hand in close quarters, and it's usually not with guns, it's usually with knives. And knives are scary as fuck, because they can cut you up pretty bad.
Also got three of those this past month for my birthday.
I'll tell you what, man, if you came at me, you know, if there's a guy coming at me with a gun and there's a guy coming at me with a knife, I'd have the gun out of his hand within seconds. The knife guy, it's a different story, right? So I'd suggest getting yourself into something once you got the physicality of, like, your back issue sort of fixed up, and, you know, getting something that builds physical prowess so that you've got presence, sort of thing. Because that will matter, and it's going to be harder for you to develop in your 30s or 40s when you can do it now in your 20s, because your body heals better, right?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
I have to be a little weird when it comes to working out, because I don't have certain upper body muscles due to disability. Well, not disability. Well, what do you call it? Physical, not normal. I don't know what the right word is.
Okay.
But I don't have a pec here, and I don't have certain upper body muscles, so my arm is doing this. So I have to focus on core and legs to sort of compensate that. And the rest of this, from my understanding from my mentor, he said that would be a luxury. But for now, if you're
I don't know what happened to his stream there. Still there?
Sorry, that was someone trying to call me.
Okay.
My bad.
Yeah. No, I just don't want you to, I just don't want you to end up becoming one of those bubble boys. You know what I'm saying?
I used to be a bubble boy.
I know. Yeah. I know. Trust me.
COVID happened, and I learned from 168 to...
I have glasses, but I have that kind of vision. But yeah, like, get yourself sorted in the physical world before you worry too much about developing wins in, like, the online world, the Twitch world, sort of stuff like that, if you have the ability to do it. All I'm saying is build yourself up in that sense, right? I mean, you're obviously mobile, you're standing up. I want to see physical prowess in guys. I want to see masculinity. I want to see strength. Like, that's an important part of it all too. And I'm always going to tell guys, make sure that you don't ignore that. All right.
All right, man.
Yes, sir.
I'll talk to you later. Peace. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up on that note. We did a good 90 minutes on that one. Sorry to the guys sitting in the back area. I'm not going to have time. I got to grab a Zoom link for my community. So, okay, if you're part of the YouTube channel community, go to here. I'm just going to show you where to find it so you guys know how to join in on the chat, because this will be super useful for some of you guys that want to hop in and ask some questions. Community and share screen and application window. Boom. So if you go to this tab here on the channel, I'm going to drop a post because I can post for channel members. And I'll drop a Zoom link here for you guys if you guys want to hop in and do some private Q&A with me after the fact. Because I'm going to hop in with my 1% bro. So if any of you guys on the YouTube community want to hop in, you're invited. Also, if you haven't done so already, go to my YouTube Clips channel and subscribe to that, because that gets all the short, tight sound bites. I'm going to drop that in the chat right now. And also, before I go, I must always pay dues and respect to Scott over at Grondyke Soap, Tactical Soap Company. Where's my pheromone? Beard oil. There we go. It's out of the shot. Hand-melded pheromone soap. You guys are showering anyway, so why not use something that supports the creation of content on this channel? Scott's been a great supporter. It's a high-quality product made in the U.S. It's good stuff. Grab some. Right over here, you can go to coopersoap.com. Or after I get off this broadcast, I'll pin it in the top comment. You guys can also click that. A bunch of useful links in there for the Amazon bookstore, want to make requests, my community, all that stuff. We'll see you guys later. Have an amazing night. Hope you guys enjoyed the broadcast. Peace out.